The Fwog Pwince, The Twoth, written by Kay Umansky and read by Sandy Tuxvig.
What do you think? You probably know the story of the Frog Prince. It goes like this. An obviously spoilt princess drops her golden ball into a well and makes a great fuss about it. A talking frog appears. Eh? And fetches the ball. The obviously spoilt princess is hateful to him. Boo. It turns out that he is a handsome prince, surprise, surprise, who has been transformed by a wicked witch. Why? And then they get married. Why? Have you ever wondered about all this? Like, why play with an expensive golden ball when an old tennis ball would do? What's it like being a frog? Was the princess surprised to meet a talking frog? Would you be? Why did she break her promise? What had he done to be changed into a frog in the first place? Who was the witch concerned? Did the prince have a history of being changed into a frog, or was it a one-off occurrence? Would he really marry the princess after she'd been so nasty to him? Would she marry him in view of his shady past? What do you think? Warning. There is nobody nice in this story at all. Chapter 1, in which we meet Prince Pipsqueak. Once upon a time there was a handsome young prince who had the misfortune to offend a wicked witch. In order to avenge herself, the witch cast a spell over the prince, turning him into an ugly frog. Well now, let's get the facts straight. Prince Pipsqueak certainly wasn't handsome. Oh, he was a prince, all right. You could tell that at a glance. At least, you could before he got turned into a frog. After that, of course, it was a bit more difficult. If you took a good look at the before Pipsqueak, you'd note princely trappings. Castle with attached moat. Crown, horse, coach, servants, smart clothes, room of his own, far too much pocket money, and ridiculously expensive shoes. But of course, if you took all that away, he would seem perfectly ordinary. Until he opened his mouth, that is. When he did that, he used a certain tone of voice, and you could tell right away that he wasn't normal. Oh, that tone of voice! It was bold, brash and bossy, it was snooty, snobby and sneery, it was haughty, high-handed and hoity-toity, it cut through conversations like a hedge trimmer cuts through privet. "I say, peasant, throw down your cloak! I, the prince, wish to quaff over this puddle! You there, waiter, this cup is quacked! Don't you know I'm the prince? Take me to the palace, cabbie, and look sharp about it. What do you mean, pay you? I'm the prince. I don't believe it. I simply don't believe it. I'm the prince, and nobody's fluffed up my swoon cushion again." See what I mean? Let's face it. Prince Pipsqueak had a way of saying things that was guaranteed to get people's backs up. It got waiters' backs up. It got cab drivers' backs up. It got the servants' backs up. It even got his mother's back up. His mother, of course, being the Queen. Queen Mona. "Pipsqueak, I do wish you would talk to Pipsqueak Junior," the Queen would say to the King, whose name was also Pipsqueak. Pipsqueak Senior. "He's got this certain tone of voice. It's most unpleasant. I can't think who he gets it from. Certainly not from me." To which the King would reply, "Good grief, Mona! Are you suggesting that the boy gets that certain tone of voice from me? Absolute rubbish!" So now you know about Pipsqueak's tone of voice, how it got people's backs up, and who he got it from. It certainly got Mrs. McNaughty's back up. Mrs. McNaughty was the old woman who was employed to weed the garden, empty the rubbish bins, and keep the moat free of leaves. She lived in a tumble-down hut in the castle grounds, and everyone said she was a witch.